Point Church podcast. Our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. For more information, stalk us on Facebook at The Point Online or visit our website at thepointchurch.net. Now here's our message from God's Word.
Hey, great job, man. Great job as always. So, hey, good morning, Point Church. We're excited to be here. And a happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. As many of you know, Memorial Day weekend, it's a national holiday that we take some time to pause and reflect and appreciate, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice and laid down their lives while actively serving for the United States of America. And so it's a privilege to be up here this morning. Originally, Memorial Day was called Decoration Day. It started right after the Civil War. And so you fast forward to today, and in our culture today, many times on Memorial Day weekend, we'll take some time to maybe visit a cemetery or a memorial to give our respects. Many times we gather together as a family, right? And we spend time together appreciating the freedom that we have today. And sometimes we'll go to a parade as well to celebrate. But this morning, I think it's important for us to, again, pause, reflect, appreciate those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, but also to highlight those who are actively serving. And so if you're here this morning and you have served or you are serving in the military or in the police force or the fire department or a first responder, would you mind standing right now just for a moment? Could you just stand? If you are actively serving, you have served. Church, can you help me in just appreciating those? Thank you. Thank you for all that you do, that you consistently sacrifice for those around you. We just want to let you know we appreciate that. I want to welcome you this morning. My name is Caleb Kimmel. I'm the missions director here at The Point Church. And if you're a first-time guest, we want to say an extra special welcome to you. We're thrilled that you joined us on a holiday weekend as well. And you actually picked a great week to join us. This week, we're wrapping up the parable series that we've been on for a little while. And this series is that Netflix-style series on the stories of Jesus Christ. If you've been here, you've heard us talk about when you look at all the words in the Bible that Jesus spoke, 35% of them were in the form of parables. And we can ask, well, what's a parable? That word parabolic in the Greek means to throw alongside. I mean, these are the stories of heaven and the things to come. And today with our time, we're going to spend some time looking at what is this thing that Jesus really talks so much about, this kingdom of God thing. Because actually, when you look at the Bible, we said 35% of all of its words that were written down and recorded in the Bible were in the form of parables. If you look at all the parables, 20% of them were on the kingdom of God, which means every time Jesus told a story in the Bible, one out of every five times was about this kingdom of God. But what is this all about? Now, a quick little side bit. In the book of Matthew, the author, refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. Now, he was also writing to primarily a Jewish population that at the time was very reluctant to use the word God. And so when you do a quick little research, you'll see that kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God kind of mean the same thing. But what does it mean? In the Christian-ese language that we have sometimes in the church, you'll hear kingdom word thrown around. There might be kingdom activities. Or if we're having an outreach event, we might be looking at, hey, how do we have kingdom impact? But what is this kingdom of God thing all about? Imagine you're outside mowing your lawn. Well, let's back up. We're in Fort Wayne. Imagine it's not raining in the spring, and you are outside doing something. And imagine your neighbor comes over. Now, my neighbors are very kind. I love my neighbors. Welcome Facebook Live friends as well. So my neighbors here watching, I love our neighbors. But imagine you've got like maybe a cranky neighbor or something. You're out there mowing. And let's say your neighbor comes over and says, hey, you're a Christian, right? What is this kingdom of God thing all about? How would you answer? Would you know what to say? Well, that's what we're going to look at today together. We're going to help answer that question for our angry neighbor. Let's just assume he's angry. Hopefully you have happy neighbors. But we're going to look at that question of what is this kingdom of God thing all about? And while we're learning about what that means, hopefully we can discover together three biblical truths that can occur when we align our lives with this kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to do today. But in order to do that, we're going to have to dive into God's Word. We're going to have to look at some of these stories that Jesus was telling to help us get a better insider's look, an insider's view on what the kingdom of God is all about. And so this first parable we're going to look at, we'll see it in Mark 4, 26 through 29, but I want to play a video. And so my challenge is you're going to have to watch this video. It's got no sound, but you're going to watch this video while I read the text. And I just thought it might be some good imagery. So you can go ahead and cue the video up there. This is going to be the germination of a seed. So you can see it's already starting to grow. I'm going to go ahead and read in Matthew 4, 26 through 29. So you're going to watch the seed grow, but then try to listen to the words. So here's what Jesus said. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So notice he's already right away up front saying, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, friends, as you watch that little seed grow, I'm in complete awe of God. You know, that is a little mini miracle right there in front of our eyes. You know, you can gather all of the brilliant minds of science today. You can put them all in a room, get the smartest people on the planet together, and still nobody can explain how all that information got in that little DNA inside that cell for it to grow. You know, how does that, all that blueprint of design packed in that little seed, how does that little seed know when to grow under the right circumstances? Huh? It's amazingly sophisticated, amazingly complex. Friends, it's a little mini miracle. But when you look at that little seed growing, that seed that we just watched, that miracle of growth, is a potential representation of you and I. I say potential because we need to understand who God is talking about or who Jesus is talking about in this parable. So there's kind of three scenes in this parable of the growing seed. One scene is the farmer planting the seed, right? That's one scene. The other scene is this concept of the farmer going to sleep and getting up, and this growth still occurs, but he doesn't know how. Right? And the third scene would be the harvest. He puts the sickle to it. The sickle, just so you know, is just this curved tool for harvesting. Many times I've seen pictures of it, but it's just that's what the sickle means. But you have these three scenes. The first scene, when we look at this, you know, what does Jesus mean by this? The first part of the story is very similar to the parable of the sower as well. It's a different story Jesus told, but the seed represents to us the word of God, the truth of God. And that's what the seed represents. Jesus is trying to have us understand with this story he's telling that when the truth of God's love, right, when the truth of God's word resonates in our heart, right, when our hearts are open to receiving that, not when they're closed off, not when we're feeling prideful and arrogant, saying, look, I can do my own thing, but when our hearts are soft and saying, all right, God, I want you to part of my life, when we invite him in, friends, he plants a seed of truth in our heart, and that seed begins to grow. And that's what he's representing with the seed. Now, the second scene of this farmer going to sleep, getting up each night, and this growth still happens that he doesn't know how, this mystery is kind of a representation of our spiritual growth as well. You know, I don't think you and I will ever fully comprehend the God of the universe, you know, caring enough about us to want to have a relationship with us, to plant this seed in our heart and for him to have a plan for us to grow. But there's been radical things happen. Radical things happen when people invite him in. You think about the Apostle Paul in the Bible. You know, when he was Saul before, he was a persecutor of Christians. If you don't know this, I mean, he hated Christians. He spent time tracking them down, killing them, doing atrocious things to them. He encounters Jesus, has a heart change, the seed gets planted in his heart, and radical life change. He now becomes a follower of Jesus, a leader for the Christian faith, and puts everything on the line for it. You know, part of this growth is kind of a mystery, saying, man, it's amazing. The king of all things cares enough about us. But the growth of the seed also represents kind of our spiritual growth in a couple other ways. One, did you notice when that seed started to grow, it was gradual, right? Didn't just all of a sudden happen at once, just like our spiritual growth. It's gradual. There was a process. When we watched that little seed on there, right, the roots grew, then the stem, then the branches came out, eventually the grain. Right? It's just like our spiritual growth. It's a process. It's step by step. Jesus is also giving us some imagery here on kind of the end result on this when the harvest comes. What he means by this is, you know, when the spiritual growth occurs, eventually there's going to be impact. There's going to be outward impact from this growth in our heart, from the spiritual growth. He's trying to help us understand, friends, that our first biblical truth that when we align our lives with the kingdom of heaven, friends, there is a supernatural power that comes into our life. But the big question is why? Why does this supernatural power come into our life? Now, you know, we come back to the scenario where you get your angry neighbor there going, hey, hey, you, right? What's the kingdom of God all about, right? Now you can be prepared to start to answer. You know, you can start by answering with three words. In fact, here's a little challenge for you, right? Maybe you're new to the faith, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but how can you summarize the Bible in three words? I'll give you a chance to kind of process that. In three words, how can you summarize the Bible? Because this is kind of the first part of the kingdom of God, what Jesus is trying to get at, right? I'll give you a second to process there. This is the entire Bible from start to finish. All of God's plans, everything in three words. You ready? It's God with us. You think about it, it's when God dwells with us. You can write that down. When God dwells with his people, that's the first part he's trying to look at, the kingdom of God. That's a big part of the kingdom of God, is when God is dwelling with his people. You think about that, it's the story of the entire Bible. You know, you go to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, it was Adam and Eve. God with us, right? And then you look at the tabernacle, it was God with us. Think about when Jesus is born onto this planet, right? God with us. When Jesus ascends to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes, it's God with us. If you cheat, you go to the back of the book, new heavens, new earth, it's God with us. It's all about this concept of this loving Father who wants to be a part of our lives, God dwelling with us. That's the first part of this kingdom of God. This is why Jesus spent so much time talking about this, because this was important for us to understand how you and I are a part of this big plan that God has. He cares about you, but God with us, when we allow that supernatural power to come into our lives, God is dwelling with his people. Now, the second parable we're going to look at that Jesus uses to help us understand this kingdom of God is kind of interesting, because he goes a different direction, and he uses a microscopic fungus to help us better understand this, right? So this is the parable of the yeast, right? So we see this in Matthew 13:33. Notice how Jesus starts again. Remember, this is Matthew, the author, so he's going to start with the kingdom of heaven, same thing as the kingdom of God. But notice that Jesus starts with the kingdom of heaven is like, so he's right away saying, look, this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God thing is important. He says the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated throughout the whole dough. Now, if you don't know, a little science fact, I'm kind of a dork for science and math, I kind of like those things, but yeast is a single-celled microorganism, tiny little thing, that what it does is that it causes carbohydrates to ferment. When that process happens, a byproduct is carbon dioxide. That's why the yeast causes the bread to rise. If you ever look at bread, you'll see little pores in it sometimes. That's how the carbon dioxide is trying to escape. So just kind of a fun fact. But anybody in here a baker? Anybody like to bake? Raise your hands if you like to bake, right? Anybody like to bake bread? Anybody like, oh, you're my kind of people. Oh, I love homemade bread. Oh, I'm just like, I'm salivating right now just thinking about it. You know, if I go to a restaurant and they serve good bread, like I'm no longer a very good Christian representative, because I don't care if my kids are hungry or what's going on. Like, I want it. Give me that bread. I love a good piece of bread. But I'm digressing. I'm getting sidetracked. But you bakers in the group, you would understand this. You'd understand the point Jesus is trying to make about using this yeast as part of his story. See, what Jesus is sharing is that this small amount of yeast, this little starter of yeast in a large batch of dough can cause the entire dough to be affected and to rise. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul kind of gives us some similar imagery that aligns with this parable. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, in the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. So he's saying through us sharing, we bring knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma redolent with life. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench from a rotting corpse. So there's a wide range of imagery there from that. But what he's saying here is this imagery he's trying to give us is this fragrance, this sweet scent, this aroma. Paul's comparing this is when we share our faith, friends, it is pleasing to God. It's this sweet scent, this aroma. Now, we can't control on whether it's received or not, but our job is to be able to share this, right? This is what He's trying to make a point on Paul is, but Jesus is saying this too with this yeast. You know, the first part of this kingdom of God we talked about is when God is dwelling with us, right? The second part for us to consider is this yeast helps understand about the dominion of God. God being over all things. In fact, Psalms touches on this. In Psalms 22, 28, it says, "For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." You know, friends, here's what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to be a part of his kingdom. It's kind of cool. He's asking us to be a part. He's asking us to share others, to be that sweet aroma, be that sweet scent by sharing our faith. Friends, you and I, we get to partner with God and spread his influence all over the world. You know, when we allow ourselves to accept Jesus, when we open our heart, God dwells with us. And then we get to partner with him because he has a plan for our lives. That's what he's saying. Look, you get to be a part of this dominion, this plan that I have. The Bible calls it being image bearers. We get to be image bearers of Christ. Another example the Bible says is we get to bring light to darkness. We get to bring order to chaos. Anybody notice how much darkness there is around us? How much chaos is going on? It's like, you know, he's saying, look, there's going to be needs out there, and he wants you and I to accept him in, for God to dwell with us, and then you and I to become part of his dominion, to be able to be part of his plan to help spread his influence different places by sharing our faith. It's this sweet aroma, this sweet scent is the imagery he's given it. And it starts in the here and now. It's not something for the future. It's right now. You know, this parable of the yeast kind of helps us understand this second biblical truth, that if you and I, if we align our lives with the kingdom of God, friends, we can experience exponential growth. It's a phenomenal thing. You know, just like that little bit of yeast permeating throughout the whole dough. You know, you think about that parable, and there was something here that I didn't quite understand when I first read it because I didn't know the measurements or anything, but you know, Jesus talks about this housewife takes a small amount of starter and puts it in 3 measures of flour. Now, I didn't know what 3 measures of flour was. I don't know if you guys did, but so I had to look it up. And so it equals 144 cups of flour. Now, I know how much a cup is. Like when I make pancakes, like there's 2 cups of flour, right? 144, that's a big pile of flour, right? I mean, that's a big old pile of flour, and just a little bit of yeast permeates that entire batch. And that's what God's saying. It's like, look, you and I, when we invite God in, when he dwells with us, and we start to grow through that supernatural relationship with him, we have spiritual growth. Friends, our influence can grow, and we can grow exponentially. It's amazing. And that's why he's using this imagery for us. Now, the third biblical truth we'll look at, I came across a story the other day. Now, maybe I'm getting old. I'll be turning 40, what, next year, I think, so it feels old to me. But I don't remember where I heard this story from. Pastor Ray might have shared it up here, so it might be a redundant illustration, I don't know, or maybe I heard it on the radio, but it really resonated with me on this historical story on how it relates to the next parable. It has to do with the Mayflower. You know, many of us know the Mayflower story. Right. The Mayflower set sail in September of 1620 with 102 people on board. You know, set sail for a rough journey across the Atlantic Ocean. Now, what I wonder is if that group of 102 people, you know, imagine yourself on a rickety old boat that is going through very cold temperatures with very little food because they faced starvation, they faced cold weather. I wonder if they huddled around, got out God's word, and as they read this next parable, I wonder if they reflected and said, hey, that's us. Because those 102 people who got on that ship in 1620 that sailed across the Atlantic Ocean, that faced starvation, frozen temperatures, friends, that was the beginning of the United States of America, those 102 people. You know, which shows us that great things can start from very small beginnings. There was much bigger ships with a whole lot more people in the history of man, but none of them may have been as influential as that group of 102 people. But this parable we're going to look at is the parable of the mustard seed. And so I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if the people on that Mayflower sat down and saw this and thought about them living that out. But here's what the parable of the mustard seed says. It's in Mark 4, 30 through 32. The parable of the mustard seed. Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? So again, he's addressing right away this kingdom of God things matters. I'm going to keep talking about it. That's what Jesus, he's sharing this a lot. It says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out its branches so that the birds of the air can nest in its shade. See, this imagery is showing us that small things can ultimately have very large effects. Right? You think about music. I'm not gifted in music at all, but I appreciate music. You know, I love what our band does week in, week out. They're phenomenal. But you think about, you know, orchestras or symphonies, or going to concerts or hymns or songs. You know, think about all of music, all starts from just 8 basic notes. You know, you think about the English language. Everything that has been written or spoken, the English language, all comes from what? 26 little letters. And think about the Christian faith. You know, how did it get started? You know, let's start with 11 scared dudes camped out in one room, right? Because they were scared. When Jesus got crucified, the disciples, the 11 that were left, were scared. They didn't know what was going on. It just comes back to this theme that small beginnings in our lives, friends, can have extensive results. You know, in this mustard seed illustration, you know, Jesus is using the mustard seed. It was the smallest measurement at the time. In fact, you can bring up the picture of a mustard seed, if you don't mind. Thank you. It's this tiny little seed. Look at it. It's in your fingers. It's this tiny little seed. It was like the smallest little measurement at the time. The focus that Jesus is using here is to emphasize this idea of smallness, minuteness. But in what occurs with this little seed when it goes in the ground, friends, the seed blossoms into one of the largest plants in the entire garden, right? It has prevalent growth within the garden. It has widespread growth. You know, that's what we're looking at. This third biblical truth is when you and I, when we align our lives with the kingdom of heaven, we can have widespread growth. It's part of Jesus' plans. Now, I don't want you to think that widespread growth means that we have to do these phenomenal things that, you know, are just enormous, that it's on national television. The little things we do, friends, that's the point of this. The little things we do can have widespread growth. Now, I remember hearing a story of a pastor talking about, he went to this outreach event, and he gave a message, and at the end of the message, he was in India. He gave a message, and he just felt like nothing was quite going well. He gave a call at the end to say, you know, who wants to accept Jesus? And there was one little hand that raised in this group of kids. And you know, this pastor just kind of felt defeated, deflated, saying, I just don't know if I'm doing the right thing, if this is my calling. It doesn't feel like anybody's responding. And that little hand that rose in the crowd, he found out years later, it was Ravi Zacharias. If you don't know who Ravi Zacharias is, he's one of the leading apologists. And my point of this is that pastor, you know, was just giving one message to a group of little kids, was not anything that was widespread, but because he was faithful in doing that, it touched the heart of somebody else, and that person touched the heart of somebody else, and there was widespread growth from that. That's Jesus' point in this, is that amazing things can happen from small beginnings. We don't want to underestimate the power of God, right? And the point in this, this third point is that, guess what? God's got a big plan. This is a kingdom dynasty that we're talking about. A kingdom dynasty. When we look at the kingdom of God, kingdom dynasty is we get a chance to partner with God, rule and reign with him forever. And it comes back to, if this neighbor comes up to you now you're prepared, people, all right? I'm going to be excited when this neighbor comes up and talks to you somewhere, because you should be prepared to answer this. That neighbor comes up and says, hey, you, right? You're a Christian, right? What's this kingdom of God thing all about? Now, you're prepared to answer. Now, don't freak them out by being really excited, but what you can say is like, hey, this kingdom of God thing is pretty awesome. This is pretty cool. This is a big deal. Jesus talked a lot about this, because what it means is that God has a plan for us. He wants to dwell with us. And guess what? When we choose to accept him, he dwells with us. And guess what? We get to partner with him in his dominion. I mean, he has a plan for our lives. We get to actively use the skills and abilities he gave us to be a part of his plan, to have influence in this world. And guess what? He's got an eternal plan. He's got an eternal kingdom waiting that we get to be alongside him forever, friends. Now, the important part of this is sometimes in our culture, we kind of think like there's one Christian here, right? One Christian over here. I'm kind of doing my thing over here. What the kingdom of God is all about is all of us, friends, all of us together, the global church, right? All of us, the whole church with the whole gospel going after the whole world. That's what God's plan is. Sometimes we think so small. But that's why the kingdom of God, this is why Jesus talks so much about this. This is really God's plan. It's really the summary of the whole Bible. But a great illustration of this, there was a group of people that I think really understood this. They understood this concept really well. They completely missed the mark on who to focus on. But they applied this principle well. It was the Roman Empire. You know, the Roman Empire, with the Caesars, their kings, their rulers, right? they were very aggressive. Roman was obviously a big empire. They were very aggressive in taking new territories. Meantime, Caesar would send out an army to go take a new territory. And when they took that territory by force, what they would do is they would institute Roman culture in as many ways as they could. They would institute Roman rule, right? Roman worship, Roman laws, right? They would put Roman culture and arts out there. They would put statues. They would build Roman baths. They would do everything they could to make that new territory just like Rome. But why? Why did they do this? The Roman Empire did this because they were getting prepared that if their king, Caesar, ever came to their territory, they would want that king to feel right at home. That's why they did it. Now, they missed the mark because they're worshiping the wrong person. You know, but what they did is they wanted to institute everything in that territory to make the king feel welcome. Friends, what if you and I applied that principle to our lives? What if everything we had control and influence over, we wanted to have little glimpses of heaven on this side of heaven in our lives? What if we had a chance to institute on earth God's government, right? God's teaching, his worship, his glory, his power being manifested in everything on earth that we can. Do we get these little glimpses of heaven? Because the Bible says he is coming back. And what if we're preparing a place for him over here, saying, hey, God, when you come back, we want you to feel welcome. We don't want you to feel out of place. You know, easier said than done in our culture, but shouldn't we be focused on his return as well? I mean, I think this is why Jesus showed us how to pray by saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the challenge with this is, where do we take this, you know, this kingdom of God concept? Because it's a big concept. How do we apply this in our lives? I think that's the challenge. I want to be an encouragement to you. I don't think we have to look any further than the words on that back wall as you come in. You know, one thing I love about this church, I love our mission statement, because I think our mission statement really is aligned with the kingdom of God. When you break down our mission statement, you can write this down. It's helping people find and follow Jesus. Helping people find and follow Jesus. The first part of that is you can kind of examine yourself and say, have I found Jesus? Have I accepted him into my life? Is God dwelling with us? That's the first part of the kingdom of God. Is God dwelling with us? Have I done that? And the second part is, am I following him? And this one, friends, is hard. Because, man, our fast-paced culture, it tugs us a lot of different directions. I mean, I'm not going to ask you, but you could raise your hand if you wanted on who's tired. I'm tired every day, right? Yes, a lot of people. I mean, our culture, it fatigues us because we're pulled so many different directions. But the question you can ask yourself is, are you following him with your time, your talents, your abilities? Are you giving God some room to say, all right, God, I trust you. What do you want me to do? Because, friends, that's us being part of his dominion, right? His plans for our life. The last part is, are we helping others in their journey to find and follow Jesus? Friends, that's that widespread growth. Don't think about having to reach millions of people. What if you reach one or two who reaches one or two who reaches one or two? That's what Jesus did. You do the multiplication over time. That is widespread growth. Friends, here's my challenge to you. You know, wherever you're at, my one challenge to you is consider, how do you help others as well on this journey? And the easiest way to do that is by serving. I know so many of you do. But I know in my life, just my own personal testimony, I became the high school director back in 2010 here. And you want to talk about exponential growth and widespread growth? When I forced myself to get out of my comfort zone and teach others God's word, I didn't know all the answers. I didn't have some amazing background in seminary, but I challenged myself. And friends, I grew exponentially. There was widespread growth in my life because I chose to serve. I chose to just share God's word with others. So wherever you're, I'm not saying to go out and teach, but try to serve. Friends, you never know if you're serving the kids ministry or the high school ministry or helping with the missions outreach, or even if you're planting on Saturday from now, making this place look more attractive. Maybe somebody sees that attractiveness and comes in and hears the word of God. All those little things like that yeast matter. But I challenge you to consider serving. Your communication card, there's a chance to place it. You can put down there a place to serve. You can write a note on there. We'll follow up with you. But I would challenge you, are you following him? Are you helping others find him? Because that's part of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is all of us together, right? The whole church with the whole gospel going after the whole world. That's why I think Jesus talks so much about the kingdom of God. One out of every five stories that he told was about this kingdom of God concept. And we get to be a part of it. It's a pretty awesome gift from God. Why don't I lead us in a word of prayer as we kind of sift through some of those thoughts. So if you'd bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you on this Memorial Day weekend, Lord. First and foremost, we want to pause and just be in appreciation for those who have sacrificed, who have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life for our freedom here in this nation, Lord. We're so grateful for that, but we also need to pause and reflect, Lord, and recognize that you gave the ultimate sacrifice when you sent your son for us. But you sent your son to die for our sins. Friends, this is a part of your plan, God, for us to be a part of your kingdom. You know, for us to be able to invite you in, to have God with us. You know, for us to be a part of your dominion, Lord, that you've given us skills and abilities to use to reach others. And for us to be with you forever in an eternal dynasty. Lord, what an amazing gift that is. But maybe some of us are here today, maybe we haven't started that process. You know, maybe we don't know what this God dwelling with us is like. And all you have to do is say, look, God, I'm sorry. I've been doing my own thing. I haven't been focused on you. I want to invite you in. I want you to forgive me for my sins. I invite you and I want you to lead me. It's as simple as that. And I think a lot of us have probably already done that, but maybe we've gotten distracted along the way. Maybe we need to recalibrate, refocus, take this holiday weekend to pause and reflect and say, all right, God, am I really following you? Am I really helping in your dominion? Am I using the skills and abilities you've given me to serve others? And Lord, am I helping others find you so that they can be a part of this eternal dynasty? Lord, help us understand these things, God, because we know we live in a fast-paced, busy culture. You know, that song we heard right before the message, you know, those lyrics of saying, someday I'll fly, right? You know, someday I'll be so much more. Lord, we know those things will only happen if we put you first. You know, we can fly, we can soar, we can be so much more, Lord, if we put you at the center of our life and allow your plans to work in our life. Lord, that is our heart's desire. Speak into us. Speak into our lives. Help guide us and lead us, Lord. And help us encourage others along that path. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from The Point Church. For more information or to learn how to support this ministry, head to facebook.com/thepointonline or check out our website at thepointchurch.net.